The passage we're going to consider this morning is the text that Kelly read in Luke 1, 26 through 38. This amazing announcement by the angel Gabriel to Mary. So let's just begin to think about it with the actual event of this announcement. And it's called a narrative, or kind of a story, that an angel suddenly appears to an unsuspecting young girl in a small village of about 300 people in Nazareth and brings her this amazing announcement. We have the interplay between Gabriel and Mary, as he tells her that she has been graced by God and she's going to bring forth a son, and she asks how and so on. But anyway, there is just the event here that is recorded for us by Dr. Luke, who is also an historian. So it's interesting that he includes this in his gospel, but none of the others do. Now, the heart of this is not only the event announced, but the explanation stated. This needs explanation because it's God's plan revealed. God created human beings. Human beings sinned. Sin must be punished. But God has elected certain of the human race for salvation and forgiveness, but they need to be punished. So how is that going to come about? Well, God himself is going to take the punishment for the elect. And so there has to be an arrangement whereby a sacrifice can be made to take that punishment. And God sent his son to be that sacrifice. So the angel doesn't get into that a great deal with Mary, but let's just consider what he said in verse 28. He said to Mary, having come to her, he said, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you." And this text is questionable. "Blessed are you among women." But anyway, he's saying, rejoice, you have been graced. That is, there's nothing special about Mary. It's the grace of God, and there is an election here. Out of all the young girls in Israel, God chose Mary. Not that there's anything special in Mary. It's God needs a vehicle through whom Christ would become Jesus, and it is Mary. And what's going to happen to Mary? Verse 31. "Behold, you will conceive." So Mary is going to become pregnant. "You will conceive in your womb. Furthermore, there will be a birth. You will bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Now, I am impressed by the certainty of this message. Gabriel is not saying, now perhaps this may come about, or maybe this will be true. No, there's a certainty here. "Behold, you'll conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Did it happen? Listen to Luke chapter 2, verse 7. You know the story, how they got to Bethlehem. Luke 2:7. "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in the clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. It is exactly as the angel Gabriel came with the message. She did conceive, she did bring forth a son, not a daughter, and she did call his name Jesus. So now Gabriel's going to explain who this son will be, verse 32 of chapter 1. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. That's a word we use a lot and understand. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob or Israel forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. I'm presently studying this passage in the light of prophecy, asking some questions. When will he take the throne of his father David? And when will he rule over the house of Jacob? And will he rule over believing Jews or unbelieving Jews? And exactly what is his kingdom? Is he presently King of Kings and Lord of Lords? But that's another subject. And here the angel is explaining who this son will be. We sang, "What child is this?" This is the child. He will have the throne of his father David and be the eternal king. Now we have Mary's response back to Gabriel in verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" In other words, I am a virgin. And this is not a question of obstinate question of rebellion. It's a natural question. It's a question that should be asked. How can it be? And then the angel replies to Mary in verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Then he explains about Elizabeth. And here's another miraculous birth. Elizabeth, the wife of Zacharias, is barren, has no children. But she is going to give birth to John the Baptist. And this is a significant event. It's a miracle. And Gabriel follows up to say, with God, nothing is impossible. So his reply to Mary as to how this will be, it will be by the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing the seed into Mary and bringing about the physical birth of Jesus. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you explain it? It is supernatural. It is a miracle. And the great thing about this, he says he will be called the Son of God, because he is the Son of God, and that makes him unique. It makes him exclusive. There is no other Savior. No one even comes close with the qualifications necessary to be the Savior from sin. Only our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. And in fact, He is Mary's Savior. Mary is a sinful young girl, like all of us, needing a Savior. You say, well, how do you know that? If you look at verse 46, you will find Mary's song or poem and what she's saying about this. Chapter 1, verse 46, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For He has regarded the lowly estate of His maidservant. Mary did not consider herself to be special in the sense of being better than anyone else. She is a chosen vessel to bring about the birth of Christ, and her Son is her Savior because He is the Son of God. Now, of course, there's a great deal of discussion about the virgin birth and how can it be. People are still asking and thinking it's just a sort of a sentimental story. An unbeliever cannot believe in the virgin birth. To the believer, it's a natural thing of faith. Because we know God has many ways to create love. For instance, when there were no other human beings, God created a man named Adam without any other human beings. That's a miracle. God created a woman from the man. Miracle. God brought about the union of the man and the woman to bring about the human race. That's a miracle. The birth of a child is as great a miracle as you could think about. Now, how else can God do this? Well, He can bring about the birth of a human through the woman. So the virgin birth is something that's easy and simple for us to believe because we know that with God, nothing is impossible. So He is the Son of God, the Savior, to Mary and to God's elect. And it's necessary for Him to have a virgin birth so that He is not born with a sin nature like we have. He is sinless in birth and nature and in His life. He's sinless. Therefore, He can make the perfect sacrifice and take the punishment for you and me, which satisfies the justice of God. And when we get to Romans, we learn that by position, when Christ died on the cross, we died with Him. Therefore, this morning, we have satisfied divine justice with regard to our sin because we are in Christ. That's hard to believe. It's too good to be true. But we believe it because it's the truth of God's word. So here is the Savior born to Mary, her Savior, and to all of God's elect. He is the God-man. God became a man. Christ, the eternal Creator, became a human being. The God-man. That's the explanation. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And the word seems to mean the kind of presence of God that was in the days of the tabernacle. The powerful presence of God in this cloud overshadowing. The majesty and the glory of God will come upon you and overshadow you. So we have the event announced and the explanation is stated. Now, what is the experience involved? What is Mary going to do? Verse 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." There is a surrender here. And Mary, I'm sure, still does not get the total picture of it all. But there's worship and there's surrender to the Word of God. How does it affect our experience? The way in which Christ was formed in Mary is the way in which Christ is in us, and we have a new birth. The Holy Spirit has overshadowed us and implanted the seed of the Word of God into our life and brought forth our new birth. That's what it means to be born again. And that cannot happen unless the Holy Spirit comes to a person, drops the seed of the Word of God into the life, and regeneration causes the seed to germinate and bring forth life. That is not by human decision. It is not by human willpower. It is not by human wisdom. It's by the power of the Most High overshadowing us. What a miracle. There's a miracle of the virgin birth, but there is a miracle here this morning in our birth. Born again spiritually. And so we have life. And we have the seed of the Word of God dropped by the Holy Spirit into us, which should bring to our heart this morning a surrender to the Word of God. To be able to say this Christmas time, "Lord, let my life be according to your word. I surrender to your word." I heard a man on television this morning closing his message and saying to the people, "Now God has given you a will. A free will, but not a total free will," he said. "It's a limited free will. But he's given you enough free will to make your choice. And he will not force himself on you." And my heart sank because of the fallacy of that message. Instead of telling them of the necessity of the power of the Holy Spirit to come to them, and give life. It was up to them. Well, this morning we have God with us. Emmanuel, it's God with us. And God in us. And God for us. That is Christmas. And what child is this? Jesus said to Philip. One time Philip said, "Show us the Father." Jesus said, "Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one." And if we get nothing else at Christmas, let's just glory in the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And our Savior has all authority in heaven and earth. And we worship Him and we give Him our life. Dear Lord God, we pray in the name of Christ to the living God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Holy Spirit, we come to your presence in prayer and ask that you will so work in our lives at this Christmas time that we will truly be your people, proclaiming the true message and living it out in our personal life and in our homes. Lord, I pray you'll take this passage of Scripture and drop it into our minds, our hearts, and our wills this morning, and make it living in our life. For Jesus' sake.